Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the ALS Mobilization Working Party call taking place on Monday, 20th of January 2020 at 1800 UTC. On our call today on the English channel, we have Alan Greenberg, Maureen Hilliard, Cheryl Langdonor, Irio Lancipulo, David Mackey, Barack Otiano, Roberto Gaetano, Amrita Chaturi, Khalil Mishal, Sarah Kidden, and Eduardo Diaz. We have received apologies from Nadira El-Arraj, Bastian Hoflings, and Judith Hellerstein has indicated that she'll be joining us a bit late. And from staff side, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Gisela Gruber, Alperen Ekan, Claudia Ruiz, and myself, Yeshim Nazar, and I'll also be doing call management for today's call. And I also would like to inform you that Dev and Antilak Singh has joined us as well on the Zoom room. And before we start, kind reminder to please state your names before speaking for the transcription purposes. And now I would like to leave the floor back to you, Alan. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. This is will be a one-purpose call, and that is to start going through the ALS expectations and try to come to closure as much as we can given the attendance. I'll note we do have all regions represented, and most regions have at least two or three people on it. So we are pretty well represented, but we will give the people who are not on the call an opportunity to comment also before finalizing anything. If we could have the Google Doc on the screen, please, and scroll to page 4 under ALS expectations. Before I continue, is there anyone who has any comments on the agenda? And I see no hands. All right, now these are the new proposals that we're making that will constitute things that the ALS agrees to when they join and continues to adhere to as we go forward. Since none of them are in violation of our current rules and they are in support of the bylaws, they will also apply to existing ALSs. Now, what we are providing here are the things that we deem to be mandatory for ALSs. So essentially, if they don't do these things, then they are potentially subject to deaccreditation by the ALAC. So that's the level that we're looking at. We're not looking for a laundry list of all the nice things that an ALS could do, but things that we are going to require that they do or they be subject to deaccreditation. So that's something to keep in mind as we're going forward. Any comments on the overall ground rules before we start on the one-by-one discussion?
Well, Pastor Peter has just joined, so I may have to listen as we go along to contribute.
Thank you. All right. So the first item that we're looking at is the report annually or biennially. Biennially means every 2 years, on its leadership, membership, major activities, and I think we probably mean major activities in relation to ICANN and linkages with ICANN, or maybe we want to keep those separate. To the extent practical, the reporting will be streamlined and easy. I believe what we also want to include there are a identification of the current representatives. And it has been there have been a number of suggestions made. One is for each ALS to list the names of all, and presumably contact information, of all of their members who are interested in ICANN. And presumably, if there are none, that is sending us a message. So I am somewhat leery of the last one because of requirements under rules under legislation like GDPR that they can only do this with the permission of their members. It's a messy one, and I'm not quite sure that we want to restrict comments to who the ALS thinks is interested, because indeed there may be other people interested who don't know enough about ICANN to express interest, and the whole purpose of our exercise here is to try to reach those people and try to get them into the gang. So I'll open the floor now. So we're talking about the first bullet, adding in identifying the representatives and discussing whether we want to ask these ALSs for lists of interested members. Maureen, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan. Maureen, for the record. With regards to this, I mean, could we not sort of like, you know, in our introductory letter to ALSs, say that if anyone is interested, that they can contact staff, so they actually make the approach. Staff to have their names added to, and of course no other details need to be online, but we would actually keep their info that they provide for distributing the information that we want. If perhaps they are the better people to actually sort of like send the information to, or as well as the official people.
Okay, but I think what you're saying is at joining time and presumably every reporting cycle, they identify people, but that's on a voluntary basis. They don't have to do it, but they have the opportunity to do it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so that's not a requirement, but it's one of the lists of nice to do that we can add, which is not the subject of this list, but we need such a list. Thank you. Pastor Peters? If you're speaking, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can.
Okay, yes. I'm a little bit concerned with that requirement that ALS should provide a list of its members that are interested in ICANN. I want to believe before an ALS could apply to become an ALS, before an organization could apply to become an ALS, I think that organization must have demonstrated the interest of that organization in ICANN activities. So an ALS cannot be separated from its members. So asking that the ALS should submit names of members who are interested is like saying that the ALS and its members are two separate entities. Because to become a member of an ALS, you do subscribe to the dictates or to the rules of membership and to what the ideas of that organization. So I don't see how that, I cannot reconcile that requirement. That's one. And the two is asking for an ALS to submit the names of its members that are interested. Are we not trying to bypass the order, the hierarchical structure of any organization in the way I would do things? ICANN is an organization, and it has its structures in place. It's just like myself saying, okay, I demand for the names of all the board members of ICANN. And then if I want to I want to find out who among the board members are interested in the ALS. So let them tell us who among them is interested. So I think it's something we're very careful about as when we try to make rules and to engage the ALS in a way that they will not look as if we are acting as supervisors over how they run their activities or how they do their things. And the last has to do with what you said, the GNDPRO regulation. I mean, to provide, I think that is all I have to say for now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If I may point out, first of all, remember, most organizations exist prior to joining ICANN, so their members have not necessarily espoused interest in ICANN when they joined that organization. Now, Maureen has suggested that we not make it mandatory but voluntary. I think you're agreeing that we should not make it mandatory to ask for lists of members or lists of members who are interested in ICANN. So I think you're agreeing with Maureen. Go to Cheryl next. May I ask, please, we only have 50 minutes for this discussion, and there's many items. If people can keep their interventions brief, thank you. Cheryl?
Thank you, Alan. Cheryl Langdon, off the record. Absolutely against this being any way, shape or form mandatory. I can see nothing but rorting, problems and pushing of ridiculous administration onto our at-large structures. If the at-large structure is doing its other jobs, mandatory ones, properly, including communicating with its members on opportunities to interact with ICANN, it's a moot point, and they'll have the opportunities then and at regular intervals to put themselves forward to voluntarily be listed in various work activities.
Thank you, Cheryl. Ali.
Thanks. This is Ali Al-Mishal. Totally agree not to be mandatory, and even in a form of volunteer is, I don't know why we would need to do that, because having this organization registered as an ALS, so they showed the interest. As you mentioned in the beginning, if there is no contribution in any form within the at-large, the long time that they were registered, then we see that there is no interest. But if we have a representative from this ALS, and we are asking them to get more, get people who are interested, it seems, or list the people that who are interested, it seems that we are giving a message to this representative that there is no trust of him delivering the message to the his ALS members that this is the ICANN things that people are engaged in. So I'm not into having it as a mandatory, and even not as a volunteer, because we know it clearly. If they are interested, if you look into the last Atlas 3, a message goes to all of the ALSs, and we have seen people who wanted to contribute and who continue contributing. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I'll point out that some of the people that we're looking to find are the people who indeed are not interested, but we can make them interested by what we deliver to them. Dave, please go ahead.
Thank you. Agree with what's been said regarding that it should be non-mandatory. Just a question, though, is would these reports be shareable within the at-large community? Do you envisage that? So it will be like on a wiki space or something like that with a standardized template?
I was going to add that after we discussed the content, but my proposal would be that it should be posted on a wiki or on some document, excluding, of course, the personal information that requires, confidentiality, names, email addresses, and such.
Okay.
Uriel.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. This is Uriel Lanzi for speaking. This actually comes pretty close to what I have suggested in my email today, that is to say, the list of expertise that exists at the ALS level. In other words, if we ask whether who is interested in ICANN, that doesn't bring us very far, and I suspect that there is an incentive actually to indicate that we are very interested. Instead, I think we should try to find out and identify what kind of expertise relating to ICANN-related issues there is in the chapter. That would actually bring us the same result as what has been tried out in Uralo and Narao so far, is establishing a list of experts who could be relied on when we want to have impact inputs from the ALSCs to policy questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Arya. I have that listed as a separate item because I'm not sure it's part of the report every 2 years, but it's an activity that we may want to consider either as mandatory or voluntary. But I've listed that as a separate item, so we'll come back to that later.
Thank you.
I see no more hands up. If I can summarize where we are right now, nobody commented here on the whether it should be every one year or every 2 years. If anyone would like to comment on that before I try to summarize, please, either in the chat or verbally. Sarah, you have your hand up.
Hi, this is Sarah for the record. I remember last week I had pointed this out and I had suggested that we keep it at annually instead of, like, we just not even say every 2 years, but I don't know. I think you responded to it and I still feel that we should just keep it at annually. I don't know what you think.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by keep it as annually because we don't have a requirement at all right now. Just a bit of background. When this was being proposed before, there were comments that an annual report would be too much of a load for the ALSs, and moreover, it may be a heavy load on our staff to have to do every year because it will take a good number of months to complete from the time we ask for it to the time we collect the last one. So that was the background on it. So you're suggesting every year. We have a number of people saying, by the way, several people are saying biannual. Biannual means twice a year. I suspect that's not what you mean.
I mean once a year.
You mean once a year. I know, but other people in the chat are saying biannual. That means twice a year. If that's really what you mean, please make it clear.
Daniel speaking. Can I have the phone?
Pastor Peters, please go ahead.
Daniel speaking.
I understand, but Pastor Peters had his hand up. If you'd like to speak, go ahead. If you don't want to speak, lower your hand, please.
Hello?
Yes. Please go ahead.
I want to be, my position is once in 2 years.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we have a general consensus looking at the comments in once every 2 years. Heidi asked, is this staged or RALO by RALO? I think we're going to have to look at that organizationally. I would suspect we want to, do them on a rotation basis either. Some from each RALO every month or every 2 months, or perhaps RALO by RALO. I think that's an operational thing we need to discuss. I don't think there's any need to say they all have to be done January 1st and completed by the end of January. I don't think there's any benefit in trying to lump them all together, nor do I think that's a reasonable thing to ask for our staff to do. All right, if I can try to summarize, we are looking at a report every 2 years, including its, and we're not trying to write the form here, but generally including its leadership, some idea of its membership. We're not asking for the list of members, but we want to have an idea of how many members we're talking about, the names of their representatives, what their major activities in relation to ICANN are, and perhaps we want to ask, what their interests in ICANN are, and refresh that, and we will post that, excluding data on a publicly available wiki or something like that. We will not ask them for a list of interesting members. That is something we might suggest they could do on a voluntary basis, but it's not part of the mandatory requirements. Is that close to what we all feel comfortable with? Dave, please go ahead.
Thanks, Alan. David, I'm speaking. Just to say that perhaps also a section on the contact details, if they're using any particular social media, email channels, new domain name, whatever, that also there'll be opportunity to update those contacts as well. So I think, like, so contact, ALS contact information, so to speak.
Yeah. All right. Okay, contact information. But are we asking them what social media they use internally?
This is Dave. I would say the social media that they are using to, you know, share the information about the ALS within the wider public.
Okay.
Yeah, because then it kind of comes back to, well, did we distribute regular updates? Comes back.
That will, the regular updates will be talking about later on in the list.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm not quite sure I understand, but when you see the next version, please comment if I don't have it right. Heidi, please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Alan. Just I have put into the chat what you just said in terms of what the reporting should include, so Alt can include that in the action items. I did want to ask, Alan, would this be an online template similar to what we've done for the Atlas survey or the reporting? So we would just get this back. You know, we'd put these topics, have them have a space for them to respond, and then send it out via a link.
I don't think it's our job to talk about that format, but we do have a caution here that to the extent possible it has to be streamlined and easy to do, and that implies both for them to fill out and for us to use. So I would think some sort of a form, whether it's a Google Doc or some other tool, is probably the only practical way to go. But I don't think we really need to look at the details here, but clearly this has to be streamlined for all parties or it's not going to get done properly.
Alan, just one more comment on that.
Please
just
go ahead.
Heidi, again. Yeah, I know that we are internally preparing CRM for all the SOs and ACs, and at large, hopefully we'll have ours by August. I believe
you,
we can definitely
check. Would you like to define
what
CRM is for people who might not know?
It is, let's see, it's management. It's community management, basically.
Customer something, I don't remember.
Well, yeah, we don't have customers, so it's community or client.
Customer
relationship
management.
Thank you,
yeah.
David. I've gone blank on that.
You.
Thank you. Customer community relationship management. And I believe in our internal reporting on that, I believe that there is an element of reporting, so we could send that out. I mean, we're going to have the community members and definitely the ALS reps likely in that, so we could send that out relatively easily. And
Let's not micromanage the operational part of it at this meeting, please.
Yeah, well, the reason, because when I'm hearing this, what I'm thinking is what it's going to mean to our team.
Understand.
Staff team. So otherwise, just allow us to determine the best way. That's the other option.
There will be discussions, not on this meeting, though. Daniel, you had asked to speak, and we never got to you. Would you like to speak?
Daniel, for the record, I'd wanted to make my contribution regarding to the annual reporting of the ALSs. I think if we're looking at ALSs reporting the activities that they're holding over a given period of time, I would recommend that at least they report at least once a year. Just the same as under outreach and engagement, the co-chairs are required to make reports of their respective activities. Sorry to bring in the issue of outreach engagement, but if we look at ALS reporting of activities, at least annually, it would be good. And those activities should be related to what ICANN does. But in case they're going to be reporting about any changes in their respective structures or organization, then I would recommend at least every 2 years, because in 2 years they can at least make substantial changes to their leaderships and other respective things. Yeah, and regarding to publishing of information regarding to the names of the members who are interested in at large or ICANN, I don't think that would be so much relevant. Thank you very much. Those are my comments. Back to you, Alan.
Thank you. I'm not quite sure how we're going to incorporate an annual report for activities. I suspect that may be better presented in another way other than the report as such, but I'll note that and try to incorporate it. Any final comments on this first bullet? I see no hands. We'll go on to the next bullet. I do know we're halfway through the meeting, so I'm hoping we can do this on a somewhat faster basis. The second one is redistribute regular ICANN updates to its members. These updates will be created by ICANN staff and might be augmented by the RALO. This requirement could be waived in the case on a case by let's ignore the case by case basis. Now, what we're talking about now is not sending out all of the emails that we currently do on our current mailing lists. What we're talking about is introductory items on things that ICANN is working on where we may want to get other people active and interested. They have to be done in such a way that they are not loaded with ICANN buzzwords. They are understandable. That implies they will not be have deep and complex details in them. But try to get people who are not familiar with ICANN at all to be interested. Many people may well hit delete when they see them, but hopefully a small number of people will be interested enough to follow up. These will have to be sent out in multiple languages according to the standard ICANN languages that we support. And the whole target is to get to members who may or may not know anything about ICANN ahead of time, and hopefully some percentage of them are people who will become active workers. Clearly, there's going to be work done to when someone says, I may be interested, to how do we develop them and educate them. But that's not the subject right here. The subject simply is the RALO must agree that we send out, that we be allowed to send things to their members, probably via a mailing list or posting to some social media message. But that's the requirement that we're looking for. That's something that's missing right now. In general, most of our communication with ALSs are purely through the ALS representatives, and we know in most cases they don't go any further than that. They don't go to the members. And that the whole target of this item is to get things down, pushed through the ALS into their members. Just one moment. The exception we're talking about is there are some ALSs that are focused on specific issues, phishing maybe, and they work on anti-phishing things, and we're not asking them to get interested in other areas because they are very targeted. They have a very targeted interest, but they come into the area that Uriah was talking about of expertise that can avail ourselves. So there may be ALSs which are exempted from this if they have particular expertise that they can contribute when it's timely. Yes, please go ahead.
Daniel, for the record. Regarding to the participation of the ALSs with respect to its members, is that some ALSs activities are not directly related to what ICANN does. They could probably speak about the general internet governance, speak about connectivity, and they won't mention anything regarding to ICANN. But in case there are certain activities that are tailored towards the domain name system, that's where ICANN can come in. Probably we need to specify the levels of engagement of which the ALS is having together with its members with respect to ICANN. And another thing is that bypassing the communication channel of the ALS, I think that would be a little bit problematic. But I think if information is delegated to the ALS representatives such that they can be able to communicate directly to its members, I think that's how best we can be able to leverage on the communication instead of jumping the ALS representative and then come directly to the community. Unless otherwise, the community members accept to subscribe to key respective lists within ICANN. I'll give an example. In my ALS ISO, there are some members who are actively subscribed to the mailing list, and they can contribute further, like maybe once or twice to the mailing list, but then most of the time they're not contributing. but they are aware that these things are happening. But they do not get direct information from the ICE of Uganda chapter on things that are happening within, things that are happening within ICA. So I think that we need to see how best communication can be bridged between the community and the members of the ALS and ICA respectively. So, in other words, if clause be added that all ALSs must be able to communicate to its members a bulletin or activity schedule that is happening within ICANN such that the members can be interested, I think that will be more appropriate. Thank you. Back to you, Alan.
Thank you. The intent of this is that we be able to communicate with all members. And we're talking about a rate of perhaps one message a month. We're not talking about inundating people with these things. And I don't care whether we send it to the representative and they certify that they are redistributing or they give us the mail, the name of a mailing list to send it to. Either of those is fine with me. But the important thing is that we reach all of their members. That's why we have the ALSs to begin with if you go back to the bylaws. So I think it's really important that we have that aspect, and that's the whole basis for the at-large review recommendation we made, is that we keep ALSs, we not abandon them as was recommended by the external reviewers, but we keep them, but we be able to reach their members. Cheryl, please go ahead.
Thanks, Alan. Cheryl, for the record. I just would like to see one word changed in this, and then I'm comfortable with it as a mandatory, just remembering that this is a set of mandatory lists. I don't like regular, even though it does qualify that the quality of these missives will be controlled by staff and perhaps augmented by the RALOs. I think we should be saying redistribute specified ICANN updates. And that way...
Sorry, what was that word you said?
For wide distribution, specified. And I don't care. There's a whole bunch of terms we can pick from, but, you know, we all know what it means when it says, you know, for wide distribution or press release. So whatever the equivalent is that we use as a term, that we say this is something we have designed to go out to rank and file, and I'm happy. Thanks.
Okay. Would you accept periodic and an additional qualification that we're expecting not typically more than 12 per year?
No, I wouldn't accept that at all, because there might be a time when it might be 3 a month and there might be a time when it's 3 a year. So
okay.
If it's clearly annotated as this is needing to go out, that's all it takes.
Okay. Periodic, okay, instead of regular, though?
I don't want regular at all. I want specified. A term. I don't care what the term is. Specified will do for now.
Okay, I'm not sure what you mean by specified. Do you mean we're identifying them as
things to go out? If it says press release, Alan, if it says press release, then we mean it goes to everybody. If it says green eggs and ham, then we mean it goes to everybody. That it is clearly labelled or specified that this communication is for wide distribution.
Yes,
without
understood.
Any periodicity and any regularity.
Thank you. Dave?
Well, this is Dave. Well, I think we talked a lot about regular updates anyway, so I'll skip that point. One question was like, how exactly do you approve, you know, verify, I should say, okay, the updates would be distributed internally to its members. I could see you can prove it when you do it publicly, like, and I posted a link as an example of what I did, which I tend to do for the public face-to-face meetings. If you plan to do regular updates, like, say, all right, let's say once a month, because if you try to do weekly, I think it will just be repetitive after a while. And this kind of comes back down to working groups, the at-large working groups and so forth, doing their, you know, monthly RALO updates and RALO doing its updates. which I notice has fallen off completely over the past few years. So if you plan to do regular updates, then the working groups have to provide some short update with appropriate links, and that could be redistributed. Otherwise, it's just going to be a pain for staff to just manually come up with something. So it really falls on the community through its working groups, ALAC monthly meetings, you know, just sort of like synopsis of what's happened in the month.
Yeah, I don't think we're looking at synopsis of what happens. I think we're looking at things going on in ICANN that we want people to get active in, that we want to attract people who are not familiar with ICANN to start getting active. So, you know, it may be a discussion on privacy, an introduction to what's going on in ICANN, enough to lure people in and get interested, or, you know, GTLDs or something like that. So, but as Cheryl has pointed out, it's not necessarily going to be regular for the basis the principle of being regular.
I get that, but I mean, the update is basically to allow you, hey, this is what's happening, here's how you can participate, and so forth. It's not just updates for updates' sake. So,
again, I don't think we're looking at the subject matter of this. The principle is here, we're asking for a commitment to redistribute a reasonable number of things that we send out for clearly labeled for redistribution if we're sending it to a human being for redistribution, or that we be allowed to simply access their mailing list. I don't hear a lot of disagreement that this is where we are targeting, and I don't believe I heard any disagreement on the waiver for certain classes of ALSs.
Okay. And
so, with the exception of the word regular and conveying the message that these are new things of interest, this is a message to us and to the people. I think I hear general agreement on this. Dave.
Just the second part of the question, how do you verify that the updates were actually distributed?
Well, I think it's a two-part question or two-part answer. The first is we are asking for certification from the official rep that it is happening. So in the case of us being given a mailing list address, you know, there's no question. In the case of us sending it to someone, how do we know it really goes out? Well, at some level we don't. But I think the way we're going to do this is periodically we will not just send an outgoing message, but ask a question on some interesting thing. And we know the return on these kind of things might be only 20%. But if an ALS has 200 members and nobody responds, then we have a pretty good idea that nobody is getting these messages. So there's no guaranteed way, but I think we can have a pretty good idea empirically whether these messages are going out or not. So I don't think we can do any better than that. And we are asking for certification. And at some level, if people are cheating and we don't catch it, then we have another ALS on the books that isn't doing something. But, you know, I don't think we need to be 100% sure on this. We just need to have a good level of confidence that most of them are going out and we are attracting people. If we never get anyone biting on any of these, then clearly the idea didn't work, and we should just give up. But I don't think we need 100% certainty.
This is Eduardo.
Eduardo, please go ahead.
Yes, look, by sending stuff to people and you don't receive anything, I don't think that would be a measure. I mean, I can tell you of events that we do here for read outs, and we hit our database 2-3 times, and we get zero participation. Now, imagine sending stuff from ICANN that people do not understand, and then you send a question, and you don't get any answers. You know, I know we're trying here to put something that we're getting to the membership, but, you know, just sending something about ICANN, and, you know, like, for example, the things that I really send to the membership is, look, ICANN has fellowships, opportunities to learn about ICANN, apply to them. so they can go, you know, have the chance to participate and get acquainted with it. I can learn courses, you know, learn about this, things like this. But I put a wave to any of the IALSs. You know, if they are doing fishing, fine, but they should do, you know, they should, their membership should know there are all the things out there. Because otherwise it's going to be a mess. I don't know. That's my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheryl.
I think certification, as you mentioned, Cheryl, for the record, certification is with, again, you're talking mandatory things here, and the ALS responsibility, not the individuals of the ALS's responsibility to respond so that the ALS stays an ALS. If the certification is getting rorted, well, you know, we can do some other things to try and look at that. But I think certification is the only way you're going to work this. And then the just like an issue of many, many things, even in the domain name system, if a member of an ALS maintains they've never heard of something important and that they're upset about that, they've got that as you didn't tell us and you certified you would tell us. And we might need to deal with a complaint from time to time, but certification is the only way we're going to go through from a metrics point of view.
Thank you, Cheryl. Peters? Pastor Peters, you seem to be muted.
Hello?
Yes.
You can hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, it seems I'm lost. I want to be helped out here. Are we still debating on using the method of sending information directly to every member of an ALS, and if, from what you said, nobody responds from the ALS, it sends a message, and then there was a subtle remark as to if some ALS are cheating, then we know what that is. I just don't quite get that. I don't know what we're talking about. If we are saying earlier on that for an ALS to submit the names of its members and contacts is voluntary, so why are we still referring to that as a yardstick to measure whether an ALS is active or not, because no member of the ALS responds to an email from ICANN. Now, I want to draw an inference again thinking maybe that it's just same people are active within an ALS. Other members are not active. We should remember that everybody within an organization has his own role to play. Every one of us cannot play the same role. Now, that's number one. Number two, if we are looking at the fact that, okay, same people are more active within an ALS, and it's not the same thing as what operates in the leadership of the large community. We have same people over the years, running the affairs of ICANN within the at-large community and all that. So what yardstick are we going to measure the membership of the organizations those individuals belong or they come from? Because I want to believe majority of the ALAC leadership belong to some form of organization or from Iralu or whatever. I don't think every one of them are just individual members. So I want to be clear here because I am getting lost. I don't understand. So
We are not talking here about metrics or activity of the ALS at all. We are simply talking about a requirement to redistribute or to allow us to distribute specific pieces of information to their members. We are not measuring how active they are, how active the ALS or their members are, and we're not asking for the names of their members.
Yeah. But there was a subtle remark that was made that yes, if there was no response, yeah, we know the meaning of that. And then if some ALS are cheating, there are some remarks that are very careful. I'm not trying to be confrontational here. What I am also saying is that members do not respond does not mean they are not reading it. So if we are saying they must respond as a rule, that forms
nobody has said that.
Okay then.
Any other comments? So I think we have general agreement on this one. It does need some rewording. Next item, and I know we're down to 10 minutes or 5 minutes before the end of the discussion period, so we'll try to do one more. This is something that has, again, been essentially on our books, but we have never been particularly proactive in making sure it actually is done, and we are going to try to make it clear to people that this is a responsibility. That is, specifically, they should reference ICANN and at large prominently on their website or Facebook page or whatever their internet presence is, either on its homepage or a secondary page, which is obviously linked to the homepage. In other words, it shouldn't be buried somewhere where it can't be found. Just to note that they are affiliated with ICANN. Because right now, in many cases for an ALS, they may have a website or a Facebook presence, and they mention ICANN and at large not at all, which means their members typically have no way of even finding out that they are affiliated with at large, with ICANN and at large. And we're saying that they should have a presence. Are there examples where they may ask for an exemption because it doesn't apply to them? Perhaps. But this should be a general rule. Comments? I see agreement from David. I see no comments, nothing negative. Then just do it. Thank you. Next item, when specific issues are brought to the attention of ALSs, if applicable, each ALS should evaluate whether they can contribute or not, and if they can, their ALS members should be involved. They should respond if surveys or other issues. So that says that periodically the ALAC or the RALO may bring issues to the attention of the representatives of the ALSs. The ALSs are responsible for responding. So that doesn't say they will necessarily find 5 people who are interested or be able to contribute. They just have to respond. And non-response to these messages, and we're not talking about a large of them, is problematic. Comments, questions? Maureen, your oops is accepted. If anyone wants to know what I'm talking about, you can read the chat. No comments on this one? We may make our way through the whole list before we finish today. The next one really is, on reading it, really is a subset of the previous one. Respond to a specific request from the RAIL or ALAC as needed. I think that really is a repetition of the previous one. So I hope there's no specific comments on this one. Next one, vote if there are things to vote on. Now, this has been one of the criteria that some RALOs use as a sign whether you're alive or not. That is, there may be multiple votes and you've never voted, which is problematic. And the question is, do we keep this rule or is voting unimportant? We note some RALOs very rarely have any votes at all. So clearly we can't say everyone must vote, but vote if there are votes. Sarah says keep it. I see no hands raised, so I think there's general agreement.
No.
Okay, we have Dave with his hand up, and then Cheryl with a voice. Dave.
Well, Cheryl's also got to go to another meeting, so.
Okay, then Cheryl, then Dave.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. It's just I've I'm actually running the other meeting, so I do have to join it. I have a problem with this being a mandatory one. If there are votes, I think we report and record, and even advertise if needs be, but that as a mandatory is a problem because you've got some regions which, you know, vote as over what they'll have for coffee, and you've got some regions who never vote at all, and we cannot make a mandatory ALS activity linked to that sort of thing. Obviously, if it can be looked at if one was reviewing an at-large structure, but not, I think, as a mandatory requirement.
So you would want to move this into the RALO. Remember, RALOs can also add rules to these. You would want to move this into a RALO, into a RALO one, because you don't feel comfortable. Even though it says vote if there are things to vote on, you don't feel comfortable making this a mandatory.
I don't, because of the variability of even what is a vote in the world of voting.
Noted. Dave?
Thanks. This is Dave speaking. So if there was a way to say vote on things, if there are things to vote on, excluding elections, people just literally join the ALS at the behest of another ALS to say, hey, so I can get support for elections and so forth and things like that. So,
sorry, Dave. I don't mean to interrupt. I don't know if you're saying that you're saying that they don't have to vote on elections, or for elections they do have to vote.
I'm saying that they vote on things other than elections. You know, so vote if there are things to vote on, excluding elections.
Okay, I'm still lost. Maybe someone else understood. You say, should we make a mandatory requirement that they vote on elections, and should we make it a mandatory requirement that they vote on other things other than elections? So I'm not sure what you're saying about those.
Okay, this is Dave. A lot of times, most ALSs, from experience, only become active when they are voting for candidates. And then don't participate in anything whatsoever afterwards. So my thing is that, you know, voting in elections is the thing that isn't something that should be considered mandatory as such. If there is a critical issue that, the RALO is asking for a vote on, or the ALAC is asking for a vote on some policy issue or something like that, then sure, that could be made mandatory. I'm presuming it's not, you know, every week or something like that.
Okay. So you would not want to see voting on elections mandatory.
Correct.
I think that's what you're saying, correct?
Correct.
Fine. Thank you. Noted. Pastor Peters, last comment. We're just about to adjourn.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Hello?
We can hear you.
Okay, I just want to ask questions. So which elections are we talking about now that we do not want to...
We are talking about any votes that the RALO may hold.
Okay. And then what is the question here?
The question is...
The
question is it mandatory that an ALS must vote?
Well, I don't think anywhere in the world... voting is mandatory. Everybody has a right. It's a freedom. You have to exercise, either to vote or not to vote. So
I'll point out there are places in the world where voting is mandatory. Australia is one.
In my world, where I am, where we come from, so we have every right. I mean, we're talking about what the United Nations Declaration on Freedom. Is, I think everybody has a right to vote or not to vote. You say that it does not belong or believe.
Okay. We are not talking about human rights here. We're talking about a rule that we make, and we are allowed to make it either way. You are expressing a belief that we should not make voting mandatory. noted.
It cannot be mandatory, yes. The people should be allowed to express their freedom, whether to... I may not agree with a process or procedure, so you don't make it mandatory for me to make
you, you've vote made, on that. You have made your point. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Any further comments? We have one last item in the list, but we have a few others that people have added on, so we'll cover them next week. And I thank you for your participation. We'll try to get out a revised version of the first six bullets in this one as quickly as possible. I won't promise it for tomorrow because that just won't happen, but we'll try to get it as soon as possible. Thank you very much for your participation and attendance, and see you on the list, and see you next week at the next meeting. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you all. This meeting is now adjourned. Have a lovely rest of the day. Bye-bye.